Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell continues the series entitled, Back to the Book of Acts. In this second message, Pastor John continues to share the vision and teaching he recently received from the Lord. This personal revelation is not in the same class as the Apostle John's, but it's a vision of what can and will happen to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church if God's conditions are met. This move of God will begin as a revival in the church, and once the fire is lit, it will grow into a huge bonfire that will spread around the world. But will it actually happen? It all depends upon how you and I respond to this message. God has spoken through the Bible, the Holy Spirit has spoken to Pastor John, and now it's time to wait and see what God's people will do. This message is entitled Part 2, The Vision Continued. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, October 21st, 2007. And to those of you that are listening to me by audio, this is my wife's and my 46th wedding anniversary. And I'm glad to be in church on a wedding anniversary similar to the Burns. They celebrated their anniversary in church this year. And that's a good place to be. I'm in a message called Back to the Book of Acts. And today is my second installment on The Vision Continues. So let's stand and let's pray and ask God to anoint this message today. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. And Father, I'm asking right now for your Holy Spirit to slow me down, that I will not read the scriptures too fast. I will not speak too fast, Lord, but be precise and to be able to present the vision that you gave me and the mission that you have for us. And we love you and we praise you right now, Father God, to open up the scriptures to us. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And those who are agreed said, Amen. You may be seated. Last week, I shared with you about my trip to the pity party pit and how God got me out of it. And then he gave me this vision. And I want to read to you here so we get continuity. In order to achieve continuity, I'm repeating a portion from a previous outline. The vision given to me was a mixture of teaching and pictures of events to come in the future. I have not had such a revelation before, and I now understand the difficulty the Apostle John must have had when he was told to write down Jesus' revelation. I am not claiming that my vision is in the same class as the book of Revelation. Rather, it is a personal message to me as a pastor of what can happen if we line up with the Word of God. It is important to understand that my vision of Revelation is not in the same class as the Bible. But this is a vision of Revelation, what can happen if we line up with the Word of God. Let's read from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, beginning with verse number 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard your prayer. I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If my people, which are called by my name, that's us, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. This is God speaking what he will do if his people will call upon him. This morning I want to lay a scenario for you. Yesterday, the governor of the state of Georgia, he simply proclaimed disaster for most of Georgia. They are in drought. The same goes for part of Alabama and part of, I think it is Mississippi and some of the other states of Kentucky. They haven't had rain for about a year. The reservoirs are drying up. On the news last night, one of the congressmen or senators from Georgia stood and he simply said this: it is ridiculous that because we have these laws about these species that are dying out, they had some kind of two fishes in the rivers that are dying, and therefore they have to release so much water. And he said, now we have come to the place that they're going to have to take patients in the hospitals in Georgia and move them to other states because they do not have water. And he said, the government cares more for the fish than for people. Now, why is Georgia and Kentucky and these places here, Alabama, this is part of the Bible Belt. This is where God was moving, where there are lots of churches. Why do we have a drought there? Because God is judging this nation. And where does he start? He starts with his people. Now, yesterday, this is the most stupid thing I ever heard. They had a blackout in San Francisco, and of course, Los Angeles had to follow, where they turned off the lights for 1 hour in order to save the earth and to lower the temperature in global warming. Now, I got a report from somebody sent me in, which simply said this, that the oceans, they said it was a 10-year report, that the oceans are no longer receiving carbon dioxide. It is not doing that, which is increasing the global warming. I want to say this. God is on the move. In the book of Revelation, God has been speaking and saying that there's going to be a number of different catastrophes in this nation. It is not that we have caused the global warming, and just because turning lights off for an hour is not going to help out. What needs to be done is repentance as a nation. We need to repent as a nation. And when that repentance comes, then God can begin to heal our land. I want to share some things with you. I believe you got one handout here today, and I just want to read this as we get ready for you to see what is happening around us, because the church is rotting. This is a report from July 27th that I saved. And this is, I just read this here, this is out of Charisma. The deadly virus of celebrity Christianity. You don't have this one. You can get it next week. Just when I thought we charismatic had finally taken enough abuse from the egomaniac ministers in our midst, I learned that some of our leaders are taking things to a new extreme. We moved beyond the red carpets, limousines and entourages of the 1990s. A new strain of the celebrity virus is spreading in large segments in the church. One friend of mine in Texas recently inquired to see if a prominent preacher could speak at her conference. The minister assistant faxed back a list of requirements that had to be met in order to book a speaking engagement. The demands included a five-figure honorarium, a $10,000 gasoline deposit for the private plane, a manicurist and a hairstylist for the speaker, a suit in a five-star hotel, a luxury car from the airport to the hotel, 2004 model or newer, and room temperature Perrier water. And then he goes on to say this. This really makes me wonder how the Apostle Paul, Timothy, or Priscilla managed ministering to so many people in Ephesus, Corinth, and Thessalonica. How did they survive without a manicurist if they broke a nail while laying hands on the sick? Then, I believe that you might have the next handout that I want to read. And I might have this time to blow the whistle on corruption. Let me just read this to you here. Now, I wrote about this scandal about 10 years ago. We have it in the Dove magazine. And let me just give continuity to this. We have a church, which is that's called the Cathedral of the Holy Spirit in Atlanta. And a group of women contacted the Charisma magazine in 92 with shocking claims that Bishop, put it in quote, he made himself a bishop, Earl Park Jr. and other staff pastors at the 15,000 member Cathedral of the Holy Spirit Atlanta had sexually abused these women. These frustrated women came to the Christian meeting because no pastor in our movement would listen to this horror story. Now, Earl Park was a big shot in the charismatic movement. He was on the TBN network. He was on all the circuits and so on. It was a big church. So anyway, through doing different things, he was able to kind of calm this down. But let me read this to you here, what was said now. Despite the fact that several women had the same experience with Paul or other men on his staff, he insisted he was innocent, even brought legal action against a group of the women after the stage of press conference to make their grievances public. He also put a guilt trip on his father, warning them that anyone who accused him of wrongdoing, touching the Lord's anointed, would be punished. Now, I'm sharing this with you now for you to understand how far the church has fallen. He was now a man. There was a buddy-buddy with Oral Roberts, was on the circuit of different places in the, what you call the charismatic world, and he and his staff told a number of women in there that it was okay for a man to have more than one wife, but since the laws of the land say, you know, you can't have it, he needed concubines. And they said, you know, it's in the Bible, you have concubines. So he said that in order for us men to be able to preach better, to perform better, we need young women to give us sex so we are more live and we can minister in a better way. Now, the church, the inside of the people, they bought this. But let me read this now. Today, people are finally admitting that Park was a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing. He was a liar, and we were the native dupes who fell for his act. This became obvious last year when former Cathedral staff member Mona Brewer filed a lawsuit claiming that Paul coerced into a sexual relationship that lasted for years. Her suit forced Park and the staff members and numerous Park relatives to give depositions in court, and the ugly truth began to unfold. The church quickly shrank to a few hundred people, and that today the congregation can't afford to maintain a 7,000-seat Gothic building. But it gets worse. The most revolting side of the Park scandal hit the fan last Sunday. The cathedral's current senior pastor, Donnie Earl Park, who has been known his entire life as Earl Park's nephew, admitted to the congregation that he's actually Earl Park's son. A DNA test required by the court has proved that Donnie Earl is not the son of Earl's brother Don. He's actually the product of a relationship between his mother, worship pastor Clarice Park, and his uncle Earl. This man was born out of incest, and he is now the pastor of this church. And then the final thing, I want to make a correction from last week. I told you about this pastor that talked about sexual behavior in the bedroom. And I told you that he had beat his wife up in a parking lot. He did, but it was not quite the way I told it. Let me read this to you now. Case in point, bishop, quote unquote, guys give themselves the title of bishop. It's not enough to be a doctor now. You got to be a bishop now. Case in point, Bishop Thomas Wesley Weeks III, who is now facing charges of assaulting his wife. He assaulted her, beat her up in the parking lot after church one day. Recently stood his pulpit in Atlanta during a marriage conference and proceeded to teach married couples how to use profanity during sex. Yes, the man who allegedly kicked and punched Juanita Bynum in a hotel parking lot last month told attendants at Teach Me How to Love You event that they should get over the hang-ups about cussing. The bedroom, he said, is a place get down and dirty. Don't bring your salvation to the bedroom, he said in a sermon segment that had been posted on YouTube. All those special words that you cannot say no more because you're saved, save that for the bedroom. It is bad enough that Weeks told his father that it's okay to use filthy language with your wife during lovemaking. It is worse when you say these things as a minister speaking from a pulpit during a church service. Thankfully, he didn't bring a bed to the stage and give a demonstration. But now that he's taken the pulpit crucified to a new level, someone else is sure to introduce Pentecostal porn to an audience somewhere. I share these things with you here in order for you to understand how low the church is sinking. This is not one church. This is happening in several different places. So what is happening is that the devil has come in. He's stored things. But here's a beautiful thing. When we are at the lowest point, that's when people begin to pray and seek, and this is when we are ready to have a revival. God is going to move in a different way this time, and it's going to be His way. Let me go back to the outline now, the vision. After I got to sleep that night, God woke me up around 1 in the morning. My sleep was gone from me, my mind was clear, as the Holy Spirit began speaking to me. I realized that my prayer had been heard in heaven, and God was ready to give me an answer. Here's a vision I received while I was awake for some hours before I went back to sleep. The Christian church, in general, is being deceived and taken down the wrong path. Other distraught pastors and I have lamented over this and exposed the errors. Our effort has not been able to stop this juggernaut created by the devil. It is like firing BB guns at an alligator. The exposing had to be done and continues. But God has a counter plan. Turn again to Matthew chapter 13. That's Matthew, the 13th chapter. If you want to pick it up in verse number 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak unto them in parables?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, that hearing they hear not, neither understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and the ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. What about the churches in the Bible Belt? I would say this, that there is not a church in the South which is not controlled by Freemasons. The Freemasons of the last 50 years had infiltrated, and most of the deacons in our churches, Southern Baptist, Pentecostal churches, Methodist churches, are members of the Masonic lodges. I would say probably 60% of the pastors are members of the lodges. By having gone this road, the church is dying. We had a charismatic Pentecostal movement sweep the country. And you remember the Jesus Revolution back in the early 70s, late 60s and 70s. And that was taken over by excess, where people became kings, queens. They got rich, and the revival was destroyed because of people's greed and people's desire, instead of serving God, to get into other things. Their eyes have been blinded. But as you heard David Wilkinson say for many years, he cried out, there are thousands of small ministries from the East Coast to the West Coast that has been simply laying low, not having a lot of money, staying in the Word, preaching, enduring it. And now God is redeploying His forces. He's raising up not only this church, but all over the United States and other places of the world. He's raising up men and women that are simply saying, we are hungry for God. And we want a move of God. Not charlatans. We don't want to see that fancy stuff anymore. But we want to see the genuine move of the Holy Spirit. This is what God is doing. In my vision, this came to me, and I read now, back to the book of Acts, came flashing into my mind over and over again. Jesus came to save mankind. He set up his church, and the Holy Ghost was a power building the church at the time of the book of Acts. Let's go back again to Matthew chapter 13. If you want to read now from verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and at once with joy receives it. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, for tribulation and persecution arises because of the word. By and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of the riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bear fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. God is going to move in our lifetime. He has prepared us. Many of us have come through heartaches, difficulties. We've been squeezed in all different directions. And we have decided that we want the simple things of God. We're tired of these contemporary musicians and all the hoopla they have in the big churches. We have gone back. This church has stayed with the hymns, the simple songs, the testimonies. They are not rehearsed. When people come up to testify, we haven't checked them out first. This is, well, now you got to say this and that. They are speaking from their hearts. This is part of revival that God showed us years ago. That we simply give the congregation a platform where you can come. We will take the time and you can share what God has done in your life. And it builds faith. We have stayed with the Word. And we recognize now that we need the power of God. Turn to the book of Acts. Chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. This is a tough week for many of us. I don't know how you had this week, but this is a tough week for me. The devil's trying to take my joy. I took a slide into the pity party pit again this week for a few days. And I got out of it, and the devil simply is trying to harass. But he's losing. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 4, we read this. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And then verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, but the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You shall receive power. 3 years ago now, maybe something like that, the money dried up, and we had to close down our radio ministry. First I grieved over it, and then God said, I'm closing it down. Start into your writings. So I did. When I was in the state of New York, where we have Eric and Patty Sims, and I believe that there's going to be a work in New York. There's going to be a satellite minister to this church. And I believe that God has called someone to pastor that church. Eric said to me the last day before I was leaving, he said this. We don't have a church to go to here. And they really don't have, there are not any churches there where they really can go. They're either into purpose-driven life or they're into some kind of charismatic witchcraft. Or they're into what you call the Freemasonry or dominating the churches. He said, this is what I would like to have. He said, I would like to see the service at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church live on a TV screen. And he said, why can that not be done? Well, in my vision that we're going to read a bit later, that God showed me that as this began to cook, that we would have cameras rolling that would simply feed this on the internet and people can sit around the world and watch this live. Now, here's exciting things. When I was on the radio, I reached probably 3 million people. It cost us $30,000 a year to reach Central California, San Francisco, Oakland, Modesto, Stockton, and Sacramento area, and so on. The internet connection our website is costing us roughly $400 a year. And thus, we can broadcast for the whole world for approximately $400. There's only one little glitch. We have to buy equipment to begin with. We looked at the equipment, and for $8,000, we can hang a camera right up here that's remote controlled back for the control room that will simply be able to rotate, take the congregation, and film us up here, the song service, the preaching, the testimony time. It's fed in right to the back of your computer, goes straight up via the internet. And when we have a service here at 10:30, it'd be 1:30 New York time. It'd be 7:30 Europe time. In other words, people, as we have service here, we can broadcast around the world live. I want us to begin to pray that God will give us, and I'm going to ask for $10,000 to have enough, that we'd be able to get this equipment, get it set up, and maybe in a month, this is about what I feel hoping for, a month, that we can simply say, praise the Lord, welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Carmichael, live. We are glad to have you here. And people can sit on their computers, hook it up to the television set, and they see this service here live as it happens. I'm thanking God He kicked me off the radio. This is better. This is better than going on television, because television costs you millions of dollars. Where it be the internet, we can do it very inexpensive. Now, the other thing is this. We are growing, and the centerpiece of the literature we're going to have is our basic course, number one. I worked on that for 15 years to get it done. And for 15 years, we haven't been able to get it done. We finally got now the draft. We're working on the final part of the draft. And now, praise God, He has supplied us with some printers. We got William in town. We got Brother Ken in town. We got some other people. And you see, this teaching in that book is going to be the centerpiece as we have a savings, deliverance ministry, and healing ministry God is going to give. I'm excited. We have outgrown our production center. When Lola Ritter took ill, we had to take her stuff and put in there. When Brother Donald moved into town, I got some stuff to take in there. And I told Brother Mike, I said, I feel like this is like county jail. It never gets full. You just keep stuffing it in here and there. But we finally got to the place. And I want us to pray for that man. We need to enlarge one of our buildings. We need more storage. We cannot print. And this needs to be done within the next 2 to 3 months. Let me take it back to the outline. After Jesus descended to heaven, the disciples had to wait until the Holy Ghost came down. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost saved 3,000 men through one sermon. The apostles were the facilitators, but it was Jesus who was the supreme head of the church, represented by the Holy Spirit. Let's read from the book of Acts, chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Move down in that chapter. Have you read this? In verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marvelous in one another. Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And then, verse 12. And they were all amazed, they were all in doubt, saying, what mean is this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. I never heard anyone getting drunk, being able to speak a different language. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lift up his voices unto them. You men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose he is, but the third hour of the day. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. I want you to go back up to verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. Same chapter. Verse number 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Have you many other words to the testimonic sword, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Here is what is going to happen. God is going to pour his spirit out, not just upon me, but upon every person attending this church. It's going to be in other places too, but I'm talking about our church here now. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to be sitting in here with an ailment. And suddenly you're going to find out that ailment is going to be gone. You're going to be sitting in here with certain things that you have a burden from. And suddenly you're going to find out that the burden is gone. There's going to be a move, a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost in your personal life. It's going to change your thinking. It's going to change the way you talk and you walk. Because what God is going to do is this. He's going to open up the heavens, and you and I are going to begin to feel the glory of God. And once you taste the glory of God, you will never be satisfied with anything else. The earth things will be dim, and you and I will also get a deep desire for people to be saved. And we will have a tremendous desire and a heartache over people who are not saved. Acts 2:47, I wrote it out in the outline. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you look at this church here now today and look around, I would say this, that 1 year ago we were half the people we are here today. God has doubled our attendance. We struggled a long time to get out of it. And I believe that God was working on us, cleaning us up, strengthening us, giving us stamina. And we are now on the threshold of breaking through. We are now going to see the fruit of labor that we've had for years is going to come into existence. Turn me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to read this for you in the outline. God wants to repeat the same thing again. And is looking for people who are willing to be a facilitator, but not looking to build their own kingdom. Here's what God is looking for. Humble people. People that do not need a title. Do not need a following of people bowing down. He doesn't want kings and queens. He wants servants. And we sang that song today several times. Lord, make me a servant. Jesus was a servant. Let's pick it up here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I am a Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers, by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Now he that plants or he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid a foundation and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid which is Jesus Christ. I want to go on record and share this with you. That my wife and I, we came to Christ in the mid-1960s. We were part of the great Jesus movement, the revival that swept in the 70s. We had a ministry, we were traveling overseas, flying here and there, and going to having big meetings and so on. And at that time, I can look back now and I can say this, if God had not held me back, I would have been corrupted. It is absolutely corruption. When God is doing things, healing, salvation and so on, money is flowing in, people are looking to you, standing in line just to shake your hand, you know, you get puffed up. And it seems to begin to feel important, you know, here am I coming, folks, sit down, I'm going to bring God to you. It's easy to do that. And God cut me down. And he held us small and little. And I fussed and screamed at him for years. And I'm thanking God that I did not be a Jim Baker, an old talk, because these men got corrupted. I want you to hear something now. Not because they were bad people, but because they were weak. Corruption strikes weak people. And the only way that God sometimes can build something is to have someone under pressure for years and years and years until you lose all your ambitions, you lose all your desires, and you recognize that he is God and he is God alone and we are His servants. Turn the outlet to the next page. This is what God laid out here. And I want you to know this. I am not bringing this revival. It is not because of myself. It is not my wife bringing it. It's not you bringing it. It's God bringing it. And God is simply saying this. If you and I line up, He will come and visit us. And when He visits us, someone said, where does a 5,000-pound elephant sit? And the answer is, wherever He wants. When God shows up, all we have to do is to facilitate. What does it mean to facilitate? It means to serve. To say, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. This is what we will do. All I have to do is to prepare a place. The place is here. This is our beginning. Lead our people to total obedience to God, and He will take it from there. We got these facilities about a year and a half ago. At that time, I was so discouraged. I was sitting in a hole in the wall. I called over an antelope. And someone said, don't curse it. I said, well, to me, it's a hole in the wall. We could seat 45 people, and the seating was as bad as it is on the airlines today. We were jammed in. It was dark. And we sat there. And I said, God, I don't know. Money was tight. Here's my little wife. She's saying, we got to move out of here. I said, yes, I know that. But let's move out. I said, well, you tell God. He got the money. Where do you sign the lease? My wife is an optimist. She's a driver. She drives a car far and wide. She started going around. She came down on Ferry Boulevard one day from one store, go to the next one. And the Holy Ghost just had us see this building. And she hit the brakes, drove in here. And there was a guy downstairs, the supervisor came out. And she said, is this place for rent? And he said, yes, it is. And they showed it to her. And this place here had nothing. It was not completed out. It was dirt, not dirt floor, it was a wood floor. No partitions, nothing. And then she called me up and said, I found a place. I said, this is crazy. Where's the money? But you know what? I can't remember all the details about now. But we moved in. I remember the guy said, you know, we're going to have to pay for the kitchen. That was extra. And I was waiting for that bill to come in every day, and he hasn't come in. And finally, he kind of told me, he says, you know, I'm going to drop it. And when we built this, you see this behind us here. God moved upon Thomas Burns. I didn't know things like this existed. He said, I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to make a cross. And he made it of American clay, beautiful design. He and another guy worked on this here, and his son worked there too. When they were still doing other things in this place, and they had to cover it up to not being destroyed. All the people came in and brought flowers. We got a kitchen. We got everything else. And we got this place going. And then we kind of got to a stop, and it kind of stopped. And we wondered what happened. It was God putting some brakes on it. We got the place now. I think we have calmed down. I think we learned our lesson. As God's going to begin to bless us, we're not going to say, oh, we are great people. We're going to say we are thankful people. We give God the glory. Because He's done it. We haven't done nothing. We've just been there. We are ready now. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 10. Back to the book of Acts chapter 10. And this is how God's going to do it in our time. And this is what He did a long time ago. And I want to pick it up in chapter 10 verse 1. There's a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion. That's a Roman officer of the band called the Italian Band. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God come into him and said to him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. And when the angel would speak of the Cornelius but departed, he called two of his household servants, a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. When he declared all the things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. I want you to think about this. Here's Cornelius, Roman officer. He wants to know God. He cannot be a Jew, but he is keeping many things, he's tithing, he's praying to God. And an angel comes to him and said, Your prayer is heard in heaven. Here's what you do. Send your men to Joppa and bring down this man, and he will tell you what's next. Verse 17. Now while Peter doubted himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought that the vision of the Spirit unto him, behold, three men seek you. Arise therefore and get you down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the man which was sent to him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he who you seek. What is the cause wherefore you come? And then he was told what it was. Verse 25. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. As he talked with him, he went in and found men that were come together. And then he preached unto them. And then we find here in verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they at a circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also were poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues that magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid the water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. God's plan for us is simple. Preserve the Word of God as we have it in the King James Bible. Preach and teach it. Soak it in prayer and fasting. And God will be ready to show up. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew the 5th chapter. Have you picked it up in verse 17? Think not that I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I said to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot to one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Do you see that last verse? Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. This is what is happening right now all across the United States. As preachers have broken the word of God, taught men to do it, they're being humbled. But then he said, whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of God. This is what we have done faithfully. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. And we read this from verse number 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth into my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We preserve the word, and God is going to do something fantastic. I told you about Spain, of this man there that got touched by God. I don't know him. I've never seen him. But the Holy Ghost sovereignly moved upon that man and said, this I want you to do. God moved upon someone in Germany about a year ago and said, this is what I want you to do. Someone moved upon people in Sweden, and we have things happening there. Donald driving truck in the Midwest. Someone got on our website, and God spoke to him and sovereignly moved that he gave up his apartment, his place, and simply said, I'm going to move to Sacramento to meet God, to be delivered, to be set free, and to be a man of God. We did not know him. God blessed out William and his wife and brought them up to us. God moved upon the West, where they're giving up a nice, comfortable home down there to move up here. There are more people coming. More things are happening. And all we have to do now is to simply do what we're supposed to do, and that is to pray, fast, keep your nose in the Bible, stay clean, and wait for God to show up. Let me move on here quickly. Instead of trying to encounter the movement of the false gospel, God wants to build a saving vessel like a spiritual ark and give people a choice to come to him or to stay with the devil. 1 John chapter 3. That's a letter of 1 John in the back of the Bible. And I try to get this slower than you. Chapter 3. Here we go. I'm here. Are you there? 1 John 3:8. He that commits sin is of the devil. The devil sins from the beginning. Now, here's what I want you to get through this verse. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. God is moving. He wants you and I to destroy the work of the devil. You're the testament today of Satyrus and Joanne. Now, this is the couple. They've been together now for about 13, 14 years. And think about it this way. How God moved them after the accident to find the people that lost their son. To go to their home. To go into a stranger's home they'd never been before in their lives. To be accepted in and to spend 4 hours sharing the word of God. That's the Holy Ghost. You are next. This is what God's going to do. He's going to put such a power into us. And he's going to move us into all kinds of situations. And we're going to be winning people where we live, where we are, where we go. And we're also going to have something here. Let me quickly give you the son to them. And when this was given to me, I was thinking, where is the money? God, where is the money? But here it is. God showed me some kind of a center where there was a huge arena-like building where God was moving among his people 24 hours, 7 days a week. Just like God had temple works in Jerusalem working in shifts, so revival workers would work in shifts. On the floor of the building there was a station for people to be saved, taken to the pool of water to be baptized, then prayed for through the baptism of the Spirit. There was a station for healing and order for casting out demons. There was no central person leading all these events, but the Holy Ghost using a team of Christian workers. This was bigger than Ark Arena. And I saw this out there. It was just a moving on that floor with thousands of people moving around with workers. And they were getting saved. They were praising God. They were instructed in water baptism. They were instantly baptized in water. Then the Holy Ghost. Those that needed to be cast out demons, they were taking the demons out. It was a steady, steady stream of events. But there was not one person directing it. It was the Holy Spirit. It was not like one of these Benny Hinn meetings, you know, when he's on stage and threw stuff around. But it was the Holy Ghost. Many different pastors and people working on that floor. People were sitting in the bleachers, praying, singing, worshiping God, led by musicians and singers on the floor. And people could stay as long as they wanted. And when they left, new people waiting outside were let in. Thus, there was a constant flow of people. I have experienced this singing. In the early 1970s, and I'll be brief on this, my wife and I was going to Catherine Kuhlman meeting in Oakland. We went there, we thought early, 2 hours. People had been there for 10 hours. When we got to the building, there was a wall, probably 10 people in a row, packed all the way around the building. Tens of thousands of people. And we walked up and we says, wow. And then we heard the singing. A song started, How Great Thou Art. It started on this end here, and it moved around the building. You could hear the singing go around the building. And we stood in that for 2-3 hours. Song after song came. And then suddenly people begin to say, I'm healed! They got out of wheelchairs. They threw away their crutches. They were healed outside the building. No one was there. The Holy Spirit. People were expecting God. And God met them outside. I seen that. I heard it. This is what God wants to do. All this was taking place in a large piece of land outside Sacramento. I saw chartered airplanes coming in with people hungry for God. Shuttle buses going from hotels to the conference ground. I also saw buildings for training people in solid Bible doctrine, counseling, deliverance, and smaller buildings for people to lodge in for those who couldn't afford the hotels. Cameras were constantly rolling in the big building and broadcast live with the internet to people around the world. No personal cameras, video equipment, cell phones, or recording devices were allowed in the big arena. This work was not being done like the minister of Catherine Kuhlman, Benny Hinn, and others. There was no central leadership. The work was led by the Holy Spirit and facilitated by pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists working as a team. What will happen as the Holy Spirit comes down? We might not have a sermon that week. We might just have some music. And we have been in meetings like this in Europe where the floor is just a pandemonium. People praying all over the places. People getting saved, healed, no one leading it. And the worship and the atmosphere is of such a nature that if you have experienced it once, you can never let it go. You say, this is so sweet. It is so sweet. You can't describe it. And you stay in that. You're not tired. You can be in that for 10 hours and your body feels no tiredness. You're not hungry. The Holy Spirit is present. No person will be able to hijack this move of God. If people try to duplicate another place and contort themselves, God will simply not show up. Any person willing to duplicate this ministry and meet God's criteria will be blessed by God, and he showed up with his glory. This is a big vision and will be need to build in stages. It is too big for man to handle. Has to be built by the Holy Spirit. All we need to do is to be obedient, follow all instructions are given, and make sure that all the glory is given to God, so that people are constantly told this is a sovereign work of God that no man can claim as his own. Take your Bibles and turn to Zechariah. Zechariah, one of the last books in the Old Testament. I almost had him and he slipped away just like a fish. Zechariah 4, verse number 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God is the one who will assemble the workers and cause men and women to have a hunger for more of him. He will cause some people to move to Sacramento when others will be prepared for satellite works where they live. Others will have a strong burden to finance his work. But it will all be done by the Holy Spirit and not by fundraising or gimmicks. Let me again read that. Then the answer to speak of me, saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now I want to challenge you here today. I want to challenge you. You must say, now, how's this going to work? What will I do to my regular job? Well, don't worry about it. God will take care of that. But I tell you this, I used to drive a moped, and I thought that was powerful when I was 15 years old. We souped it up and did what we could to get it going faster. And then one day as I was working in a factory of Husqvarna, I had a chance to drive, or actually ride, one of the big motorcycles. It was very powerful. And I said, well, I'm going to try this motorcycle out. So I kick-started. I was going to take it to a shop, so I was going to ride down there. It's not allowed to do that, but you know how boys are. 16 years old or so. I revved that thing up, put it in the first gear, and I just jammed it. Boom! And you know what happened? The front wing came up. My moped will not do that. That front one stood straight up, and I went, wow, you know. And once I felt that power, I lost all my desire for my moped. I said, oh, man, that got no power. This is what I want, that motorcycle. And I had a chance a few times later to drive some. Never got a license for it. This was illegal. And, you know, to get that feeling, put it in the gear, turn it on. Push it as hard as you can, you know, 10 years back. And you fly it on the highway. Tell you what, we've been riding mopeds so far. Now, when you get on that motorcycle, and you get that gas, and once you feel that wheel going up, you're going to say, hey, where have I been all my life? I tell you what, the presence of God cannot be compared with anything else. Three keys. Now, I'm going to be fast here. Turn quickly to 1 Peter. We're going to be back and more on this. This is just the introduction we give you now. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse number 13. And here we go. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That means get ready. Put a seatbelt on. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As for being children, not fashion yourself according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as he which is called is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You want to be part of this? Turn off your TV. I'm not talking about a news program, but I'm talking about entertainment. I'm talking about movies. You cannot have God's holiness as long as you get filth into your soul. Stop ungodly joking. Get rid of gossip. Simply say, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be holy. If someone says, well, are you holier than thou? You said, you better believe it. And I'm going to be holy yet. I'm going to be set apart. There's nothing wrong being holy. It's good for you. Have you ever heard someone talk to an athlete and say, why are you practicing so much? Well, you want to win the game. Well, that's stupid. Be like me. Be fat and slobby. Be obese. Have you heard a player say, well, I guess so. He said, just forget it, man. I'm going to win this game. Be you holy. And then James, just one book ahead. James chapter 3. We pick it up in verse number 13. Who's a wise man, and he do with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom is sent not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to entreat, full of mercy and good fruits, which without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We need unity. Now, Brother William and I had a lesson in patience this week. I did not know why I was selected to help him to bring his extra car up. Actually, it's a wreck that he bought for parts. And we rented a little flatbed trailer. You know, that car did not run, so they gave us a puny, tiny little come along. And William said, is that going to do it? And the guy said, sure, we'll do it. Well, we got down to the place in the Bay Area, and we had problems first to get the trailer in. Then we'd have a key to it. That took some time before that was taken care of. And then we were sitting there, and I tell you what, it was a lesson in patience. We had to figure it out. We had to do some praying first, and God said, well, he told us how to do things. And we inched that baby up. I was looking at that wire, and I said, that wire could snap and hit me right smack in the face. And I was standing there, one rickety at a time. It felt like this. About the 3.5 hours, we had a puppy on the trailer. We were done. Well done. I said, now, William, that's graduation work. You had your teacher with you, and we did this together as a project, in patience. How to pray. Now, that's what God wants. Unity. Be patient with one another. We got to work on that. Particularly husband and wife got to work on that. We are patient with everybody except our mates. And then, the last one. Love. John chapter 15. John the 15th chapter. I tell you, when somebody's going to ask me to move a car next time, we're not going to have a come along. We're going to have something bigger and better. That thing even broke down for us. Had all kind of problems. We had angels standing all the way around us, watching us, filming us, as we were over there working. But you know, unity, persistency. John 15, verse number 7. Listen to this. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus did not say, this is my suggestion. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. How do we love people? We love people, first of all, being friendly, caring, calling one another, helping one another, ministering to one another. And if there's any person in this congregation that you says, well, I'm glad that that person sits on that side of the congregation and I sit over here, you got a problem. You need to learn to love. Holiness, unity, love. These are the keys. We're going to be working on that. But if you and I are facilitators, and we say, Father, make me holy. Make me into unity with the saints. And make me a loving person. He will be on his way. Let's stand for prayer. Yuri, can you get that song up for me? Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We're going to start off with that, and then we're going to move right into our invitation. As you just play softly on the piano, then we're going to pray right now. Father God, I thank you and I praise you right now for these moments we had here today. And I ask you, Lord, right now, that Father, kindle a fire in each one of us here today. Kindle a fire that cannot be quenched. Let your Holy Ghost fall on us, Lord. And I pray for people around the world. Give them a vision, Father God. Have you prayed now, Father God, that in a month we will have the money for the equipment to broadcast live around the world? That we should be able to get that storage place up quickly, Father. I said, Lord, you can move upon us. And I thank and I praise you for that now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner. and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the second part in the series Back to the Book of Acts and was entitled The Vision Continued. In this second message, Pastor John continued to share the vision and teaching he recently received from the Lord. This personal revelation is not in the same class as the Apostle John's, but it's a vision of what can and will happen to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church if God's conditions are met. This move of God will begin as a revival in the church, and once the fire is lit, it will grow into a huge bonfire that will spread around the world. But will it actually happen? It all depends upon how people respond to this message. God has spoken through the Bible. The Holy Spirit has spoken to Pastor John. Now it's time to wait and see what you will do. This message is available on CD and cassette, and when ordering, ask for sermon number 1104. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.